This is Practical Software, the show that seeks out strategies, methodologies, and technologies that make software engineering projects succeed.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Practical Software. As always, I am Sanjeev Nambudri. And today I have the pleasure again of having with me Alex Poon. Hi Alex, welcome to the program again.
Hello.
Listeners may remember from our earlier conversation with Alex that he is a VP of Engineering at Outbrain, joined them courtesy the acquisition of Visual Revenue. Alex began his career as an engineer at Lockheed Martin and has since been the co-founder of a nanotechnology startup. He loves data, real-time analytics, and scalable systems. And today we'll be talking about the complexity of human-machine interactions and cooperation. So, Alex, to start with, maybe let me ask you a question with several of us have probably thought of. Is there any significant difference between machine learning and artificial intelligence? And if so, what?
I actually don't think there is. I think the main thing is, we've talked about artificial intelligence over the past decade and for a long time, and it's been failing to deliver on promise in a way. That we 20 years ago, we thought we were going to have robot talking to us already. We watched a movie about Terminators and so on. So we certainly have our imagination about robots and be able to talk to machines and interact with them and have them work side by side with us. That vision never really fulfilled. And then I think that because of big data and a bunch of other areas, our computing power is getting stronger. There's a new search on ability to work with a lot of data and work with the amount of computing power. And we sort of rebrand it to be machine learning. But in a way, they really are two very similar things and not the same thing. I was trying to attack the problem of how can you make machine smarter or more intelligent to work with us on a daily basis.
Sure. So you kind of alluded to this, but now that AI seems to be growing, and at least it seems to be getting more into the consumer space and, seems to be becoming more prevalent, how can it answer these data analytics, challenges that are being thrown up?
Well, so the way I think about artificial intelligence or machine learning is I think in terms of the task that a modern worker needs to do, a modern person needs to do, you really think about them being performing four different types of ways. Tasks are completely done by humans today,
right. So
things like art or entrepreneurship, or something that we work with a lot of data work with data, being informed by data. I call this the human and data-informed type of task, which is including data analytics and web analytics, business intelligence, and so on. And you and I logging onto Yahoo Finance, looking at a stock chart. And then you have the human and machine assisted, the machine giving you recommendations or decision support. And that's when we founded Visual Revenue, that's what we strive to do, provide a decision support system for the editors, giving them recommendation on what they should be doing, what they could do on their site to optimize on engagement on their site. And then finally, something that's completely done by machine today. You have the ad serving, Google doing search and so on. These are all done purely on all machines and there's no human interaction except there are human monitoring key metrics about the system.
Interesting distinction. So let's take that a little further. So, there are artificial intelligence kind of algorithms or, several different areas that you mentioned. So you can possibly think of, for example, pattern recognition, predictive modeling, text mining and search, heuristics, inference, data analytics. So what can you see all of these, how can you see these coming together to assist humans in, various different functions, various different ways?
So, again, because of the rise of big data and the computing power that we have, in different areas, we start seeing more and more of being able to have machine mimic intelligence in a way. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily have intelligence themselves. They're not necessarily making or asking questions or being creative, at least just yet. But what they're very good at is being able to, because we have so much data, we can train the algorithm using giving it a lot of data and training data, and be able to say, go ahead and if these set of data provide certain patterns, follow those patterns, this is the conclusion that you will get. So if you look at when I think about the machine-assisted category, it's certainly we're seeing more and more in that area of this human and machine cooperation. So today, you know, you go onto Netflix to watch a movie, you get all these recommendations for you.
Right.
All based on all the data that they have mined about you, your reading, your viewing preferences. But then you have also inputs, right? So actually, just recently, Netflix launched the ability for you to have different profiles, because the machine, as smart as it could be, for a whole household of people watching different types of movies, it's giving you all kinds of, not ideal recommendations, because
my son
watching, you know, 10 cartoons and me watching, you know, an action flick is very, very different, and the machine is just not at the stage being able to do a really good job of distinguishing those different profiles within a profile. So what Netflix ended up doing is separating and asking the human to distinguish, to say, hey, which profile are you using right now to watch movies, so that we can gather data and categorize them more properly. So that's actually a good way of thinking about sort of the more and more human and machine cooperation. Another example was back in 2005, actually back in 1997, when Garry Kasparov play chess, you know, lost to the computer.
Big Blue,
Right? And we sort of define that as the pivotal moment of computer had taken over intelligence. What's interesting is that if you look back a few years further, in 2005, we have a little bit different tournament where computer can enter the tournament with human. And the surprising result at the end is that the winner is not a grandmaster, it's not a supercomputer, but is two amateurs with a couple of laptops.
Right.
It's able to combining the human ability to be creative, to ask the right questions, to think about strategy, and then being able to have the machine churn through all the different combination and moves, and combining those two powers actually coming out on top.
Interesting. Let's look at some specific areas. So, you know, today, of course, a lot of attention, or at least a lot of attention of the utility of big data is in the marketing space. So can you talk about how some machine learning algorithms may transform marketing analytics?
Sure. And again, you know, our brain right now, that's one of the big part of what we do, is applying data in how do we optimize content discovery. In a way, of course, at the same time, also pay content discovery. So in a way, it's in the marketing space. That's how you pay. But there's probably no better a big data problem than this, being able to understand every view of their content, and then being able to make predictions on, make good guesses on what they would want to read next. So being able to present from our many millions of content that are in our index, and pulling out the ones that are relevant and interesting for that particular person, for you as a reader. And that is certainly transformative in our day-to-day behavior as we move forward in the marketing space anyway.
Sure. So you do see the role growing?
Oh, no, definitely. So I think the online advertising marketing space is sort of in the forefront of this tide change. It demonstrated a lot of ability to what we can do and what we could do, mostly because we just have a lot of data on the internet, and the whole advertising industry as well as the content industry, we just have a lot of data to start with.
Sure.
So it's much easier to get started there, and of course there's a lot of money in the industry and so on. But I think you start to see different areas, including people talk about Internet of Things, being able to have connected devices. When that happens, so in a way, that's just adding more sensors, right? The ability for us to now have smart devices and then provide more data, and then we can learn from those data and then perform better better areas, a better job.
Sure.
You also can look at another interesting area that I see, you see some big changes, is about some of the current human-to-human interaction you have. For example, let's say today people still hire personal assistants to help with the busy schedules. Why can't we today get meetings scheduled or get travel booked automatically, knowing my preferences and knowing who I want to meet, who I'm trying to coordinate? And a lot of those tasks right now are still being done purely by human with a little bit of software help. But I think the area of big data and machine learning can help dramatically in that space and make some big changes in that area.
Fair enough. Let's think about a couple of some other areas where potentially the human element or the what you mentioned about creativity might play a larger role, and how you see, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning, or, you know, any of these data analytics techniques coming in. So say, for example, medicine, practice of medicine, or, you know, fashion design. Are these spaces where you see any role or, you know, an increasing role?
Oh, definitely. Again, I think one example that I heard before was this process in protein folding, which, by the way, I'm not an expert in the medical field, but it's an example that I heard before, that it is extremely complex and it takes there's a lot of permutation. That's actually too much for the current computing power to be able to do alone doing a brute force type of calculations. But a human can actually recognize some of the patterns came up with by the machine, and the human can actually figure out what focus the machines on what path to take as they fold these proteins, and then being able to actually make it economically viable to perform that particular task.
I understand.
When you talk about fashion, I think we're still talking about right now. I start to meet with companies who have worked on the analytics side, being able to see, trying to predict what fashion trends are, or more about being able to display the data, like what people are talking about in the social arena, what people are seeing based on those trends, and how much earlier can we figure out the trends before we need to mass produce the clothing. So I think that is, for fashion, that's at a stage of how do we minimize the amount of time from a trend, how do you spot the trend as early as possible, because we have a long production cycle in the back.
Sure. From a long production cycle coming to something which requires very instantaneous decisions, like the stock market, I mean, people have been using intelligent trading systems where basically the differentiator is the ability to take extremely fast decisions. And do you see currently a role for such systems, the techniques and technologies that you talked about, and, you know, how do you see that growing?
Yeah, so like you said, there's tons of brain power and money being poured into better trading systems. So certainly there's one end of the spectrum where the speed is what it's all about, being able to get the data milliseconds faster than your competitor. But then also I think there's the whole arena of what signal actually drives stock changes. So I think that's where a lot of the big data comes into play, you know, being able to analyze different data streams, including if people are tweeting about a particular company, does that matter? That's the part about, a different part about human and machine corporations. Machine can try all the different signals or features that we can think of that might or might not influence the stock market or individual stocks. But a lot of time right now, what we're doing is the human trying to ask those questions, being able to ask, you know, there's a lot of people talking about stock influence the stock price. Being able to ask that question and then applying big data on, you know, using the typical framework Hadoop and so on, turning to the tetrabytes of data and figuring out, can I prove or disprove the particular hypothesis? And that's really the thinking cycle is, you know, being able to having a smart data science team to think about, being able to ask smart questions, and then have the computer to churn through the answers and come back with the answer.
I understand. So what I think you're saying is that human analysis, but the machine provides like predictive analytics and data discovery and, you know, all the brute force calculations that go into those areas.
Right, exactly. So definitely you have the machine as a big workhorse, and then being able to have the human in directing where to apply these amazing power of the machines to be able to come up with answers. Because at the end of the day, you know, the machine does not have intuitions on where they should look for answers or being creative or being adaptive to a fast-changing environment, which is what human does much better.
Fascinating. So, Alex, we've covered a lot of ground. We've talked about several different areas. Are there any specific sources on the internet, any sites that you would recommend for our listeners where they could go to if they want to, you know, get more information about the areas that you touched on?
I think this one is slightly harder, but I think the general understanding of different machine learning techniques, so there's different, if the audience are interested in learning more, I think a lot of the learning websites about machine learning or natural language processing would be a good place to start.
Excellent. So it's a fascinating space. I'm sure we can, you know, talk for hours more on applications and, you know, scenarios where finally we will see Terminators on the streets. But till that time comes, Alex, thanks a lot for all the information you have given us. Extremely interesting and informative talk. So on behalf of all the members of the TechPost Media Group, many thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.
So that's it, folks. Another edition of Practical Software. So that's it from me for now till we get another great guest. This is Sanjeev signing off. Bye-bye.